imagine today we're finishing Ecclesiastes? What a journey it's been, too. For most of us, it's the first time I've ever preached through it, huh? Over the past weeks, we've seen the Koheleth, the teacher, the preacher. He's been on a quest for wisdom and meaning in life as he's gotten older in age, and he's been wrestling with their meaningless or vanities or vapor. How everything under the sun is elusive. It's frustrating. Some of you guys are feeling that way right now. You're like, this sermon's frustrating. We saw the vanities of pleasure as we went through this. The teacher, he talks about wealth and entertainment and accomplishments and how he found them empty, and he's experienced them. When they went through the cycles of time and how there was a season for everything, and God's eternal plan just remains out of our grasp, and you're like, I don't get it. And some of you are feeling that way right now. You're like, I don't get it. And he's wrestled with injustice, and he's wrestled with opposition and oppression, and he's with wealth that never satisfied, with wisdom and folly. And again and again and again, the Koheleth, the teacher, everything under the sun apart from God is chasing after the wind, trying to grab hold of something that we just can't. And yet, scattered through the book, we also find hope and joy. I think that's caught something I've heard the most, many of you, surprised at how much joy and hope there was in this book. There's nothing better than to enjoy food, drink, and find satisfaction in work. This too is from the hands of God. That's 2:24. God has made everything beautiful in its time. That's 3:11. Go eat your bread with joy. Drink your wine with a merry heart, for God has already approved for you what you do. That's 9:7. As he's talking through this, life is fleeting. Life is mysterious, but it's a gift from God. And because it's a gift from God, we have the reason to rejoice, to truly enjoy the gift of God's hand, that is life. And so by the time we've gotten here in chapter 12, we're wrestling with, this is kind of like an epilogue. He's wrapping up all his thoughts in this letter. What is the conclusion of the matter? If everything's vanities, but there's joy and hope, what's the bottom line? I'll give you the, before we read it, I'll go ahead and give it to you. It says, fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring everybody, every deed into judgment with every secret things, whether evil or good. And that's where this book has been leading us this whole time. Tell you what, you should be have turned to chapter 12 of Ecclesiastes. We're going to read 9 through 14, and we're going to stand in honor of the reading of the Word of God. Not only was the teacher wise, but he also imparted knowledge to the people. He pondered and searched out and set in order many proverbs. The teacher searched to find just the right words, and he wrote was upright and true. The words of the wise are like goads from their collective sayings, like firmly embedded nails, even by one shepherd. Be warned, my son, of anything in addition to them. of making many books, there is no end, and much study wearies the body. Now all have been heard. This is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the duty of all man. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether for tov or for ra, for good or for evil. Father God, right now we praise you, Lord. We thank you for this word. Lord, we pray that our hearts and minds be turned to you, that you would bring to our hearts what we need to hear right now as we meditate, mutter on these words. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So the narrator at this point begins by describing the teacher, the Kohelet's calling. It says he wasn't just a thinker with some ideas and a philosopher. Verse 9 tells us that he was wise. And that word carries kind of an official sense. He was part of the sages of Israel, devoted to the teaching, not just to an elite group, but the whole community of God's covenant people. And his work was continual. He was always seeking knowledge, not just facts, but wisdom. And wisdom helps people live lives well. Because in scriptures, wisdom isn't just knowledge. It's never just knowledge. It's not just information. It's not Google. It's knowing how to walk with God and knowing God himself. And as we're talking about wisdom, this whole passage should remind us of that quest found in Genesis chapter 2, right? You have a tree, Genesis chapter 2 and 3, right? You have that tree that's there for knowing what is good and evil, tov and ra. And he says, will you let God tell you what is good or bad, or are you going to try to take it for yourself? And taking it for yourself is always going to leave you empty. Vanities of vanities, meaningless of meaningless. But letting God decide, letting God know. And the beginning of wisdom is the fear of God. So every time we hear fear of God, this is what we should be thinking of, is this quest to know God. For wisdom, that God gives us wisdom. And so he says, so when he's talking, he says he's wise, and he's not just collecting knowledge, but he wants to know God himself and know how to walk with God. Verse 10 says, even though he sought to find the words of delight that were upright and true and his teaching was carefully and honest and wholesome and designed to reach the hearts, not just fill the heads. And this is what all faithful and good teaching does. Not just trivia and theory, not just self-help. That's not why I'm up here, right? Wisdom shapes us for life with God, to walk with God. And as a church, we should be asking, are we pursuing knowledge? Some of you might be doing that. You might be reading just for knowledge's sake. Or are you pursuing the wisdom of God that transforms us into obedient disciples? Are we collecting information? Maybe to make yourself feel smart? So you can show off in the next Bible study? Or are you collecting wisdom on how to walk with God in righteousness and truth and hope and mercy and love? And that's what the call health is talking about. He's talking about if we're not doing that, it's all just grasping after the wind, the vapor. And he goes on, he reminds us that wisdom isn't always comfortable. Verse 11, he compares words of the wise to goads. Now, when's the last time you saw a goad? These are the sharp sticks that farmers use to make the ox go. That's what a goad is. Make the ox go forward, you goad them. So in other words, wisdom sometimes hurts, mostly because it points out our sins. It disrupts our self-deception because we lie to ourselves all the time. And that hurts when we're like, wait a second, am I lying to myself? No one wants to admit you're lying to yourself. If I tell myself something long enough, then it must be true, right? But it moves us when we'd rather be stuck. Wisdom goads us. A lot of times we'd like being stuck. I'm comfortable just where I'm at. Thank you very much. I know everything I need to know about the Bible and God and living the way He wants me to live. Thank you very much. I might just be over the salvation line, but that's all I need. And God says, and wisdom, the wisdom of God goads us. That can be painful. But he also says these words are like nails firmly fixed. Secure, reliable, something we can build our life upon. And the source of that true wisdom, verse 11 says, they are given by one shepherd. The shepherd's the giver of wisdom. And this comes. God is our shepherd. Jesus Christ, our shepherd, the one who guides us. With his staff and thy rod, he guides us. But there's also a warning there in chapter 12. Don't make many books, there's no end. Such study is a weariness of the flesh. Because you can read and you can study endlessly. Trust me, I've tried. Those of you guys helped me move know my book collection. It's gotten bigger since then. There's no end to it. But apart from God, it'll just wear you down. It won't build you up. It'll just wear you down. God's word sometimes stings like that goat. The question becomes is, will we receive it? Will we let it correct us? Or will we chase endless human wisdom that never brings rest? Never ends, chases after the wind, never gives us rest. When Jesus says, right, Matthew 11, Jesus says, come to me, learn from me, rest in me, I'll bring you rest for your souls. But if we chase it on our own, if we don't begin with the fear of God, let Him tell us what wisdom is from His Word, And it can be hard to find out what wisdom is, because this book that we read, the Bible, it'd be nice if it was just like those other books are so much easier to read, right? Those self-help books are like step one and step two and step three. That's easy to read. Why is it easy to read like that? Because it sells well. Wisdom from God's Bible, God's book, means we have to mutter on it, meditate on it. Means we have to work our way through it. Means we have to say, okay, this is what the rules were for a farming culture 3,000 years ago. How does that apply to my life today? We have to put it in context. We have to do all that hard work. And we can't just say, well, it feels like this, because your feelings will come and go. So wisdom's hard. Oh, it's so much easier to read the, dummy's guide for whatever ails you. But that won't lead you to rest. Only wisdom through Jesus Christ will give you rest. And that's why he comes down to it when he, in verse 13 and 14, he says, the end of the matter, all has been heard. The whole matter, everything is wrapped up in this. All his book wrapped up in one sentence. Even when I was in college, we were taught, all right, you're writing a sermon. That's fantastic. If I showed up at 3 a.m. in the morning with a gun to your head, tell me what your sermon's about. What's your one sentence answer? Because we had to have that. This is his one sentence answer. All that we've been saying, not that it wasn't important, because he's worked on all kinds of ideas and thoughts, and we can't truly understand what he's saying without that. But if you're going to take it all down to one sentence, this is it right here. The end of the matter, all has been heard. Excuse me. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. This is the totality. Everything. The whole duty of man. This might be better translated, the whole duty of every person in today's society. It's not talking about just men here. Every person, no one is exempt. God will bring every deed into judgment. Whether the secret things, whether good or evil, automatically transforming us back to that tree in Genesis chapter 3. See, if you're with me on my Tuesday nights, you're learning how to make those jumps. I call them hyperlinks, like on your computer. You click the blue line and it takes you somewhere else. This is a hyperlink. Whew. Genesis chapter 3. This is sobering. This is helpful. This is hopeful. Our lives are full of accountable to God. That's a very sobering thought, isn't it? Even the things you thought you were doing when no one's around. When you're all by yourself. He knows our hearts. He knows our thoughts. That's sobering. But his judgment isn't just negative. It rewards the good. The just, the fair, the faithful. To fear God is to live in reverence for him. To acknowledge his authority, to trust his sovereignty. to honor him in every part of life, to keep his commandments, is to align our lives, our daily lives, with him. Living in his revealed will. How is it revealed? It's revealed in the person of Jesus Christ. Together, this path of meaning, this person, the true wisdom comes through Jesus Christ, the one who is lived out. And as Ecclesiastes ends with this call to fear God and keep his commandments, but we know how short we fall of this. Left to pursue ourselves, we don't fear God. We don't keep his commandments. It says, fear God and keep his commandments. That's the whole duty of man, right? It's everyone's duty. But for everyone in this room, there's a, you've done well, except. For some of you, it may have been more like, you've done bad, except, but I'm not going there. That's why this points us to Jesus Christ, the true wise teacher, the Word made flesh. He obeyed the Father perfectly. He bore judgment of our sins that we deserved. And now he offers us rest to our weary souls. Excuse me. In him, we are freed from chasing after meaning in wealth, in wisdom, in pleasure, or in sexual identities. And we are freed to enjoy God's good gifts as they are meant to be enjoyed without making them idols. We are freed to live with reverence and obedience. Not in fear and condemnation, but in joy, the joy that comes because we have been redeemed through the blood of Jesus Christ. Redeemed, purchased out of death and slavery. Redeemed. So here's the conclusion of the matter. We've listened to the teacher wrestle with life's deepest questions. We've heard his frustrations, his insights. We've watched him search every direction for meaning. And he sums it up in one sentence: fear God and keep his commandments. We don't fear him in dread. We fear him in reverence. We don't keep his commandments to earn favor. We keep his commandments out of love. We love because we were first loved. Christ has already fulfilled the law on our behalf. And this is the wisdom Ecclesiastes points to. He points us towards to live joyfully in God's good gifts, to trust him with life's mysteries, and to rest in the one who conquered vanity itself, meaningless itself, Jesus Christ. So the teacher concludes, and this conclusion becomes our calling. Fear God, keep his commandments, trust Jesus Christ, and him find the meaning and purpose in our lives. Amen. Father God, We thank you for leading us through this journey of Ecclesiastes. Weekly by weekly, you have reminded us that under the sun, things are fleeting. Without you, chasing wealth and pleasure and wisdom will leave us empty. Lord, as we've come to the conclusion of this, we come to the conclusion of the matter, Lord, we pray that we may fear you as we seek wisdom and obey your commandments. And we confess that too often we've failed you in this. We haven't always listened to you. We've chased it after what we thought was good, what we thought was bad. Forgive us for this. We forgive us of our sins. We thank you for sending Jesus Christ, the true teacher, who fulfilled your commandments perfectly, took upon himself at the cross. Through him, may we find rest for our weary souls and joy in the mysteries that you have given us in this life. In the power of your Spirit, I pray that you help us to live in reverence and obedience to you. Teach us, Father, to live and to trust you, even when we can't understand it. We thank you. And we wait on you till we can see you face to face. And we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.